Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Federal Reserve today says that U.S. factory output rose for a fifth straight month in December. Factory production rose 0.4%. That follows gains of 0.6% in both November and October. Total production increased 3.7% over the last 12 months and has surpassed its pre-recession peak. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 204,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Egypt during the 2013 and 14 marketing year, which began on September the 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,374. It's up 50 points. The NASDAQ 3594 is down 0.5 point. And the S&P 500 is 1838. It is up almost 2 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Brief periods of light snow will continue to move through the Midwest over this next week. We don't expect any major snow events to occur, but light snow will fall periodically. It will be helpful in maintaining the air mass integrity as colder air pools into the region, and that will likely help to assure us that we have a prolonged period of cooler biased conditions across the area. Now, we will not expect bitter cold temperatures for a little while, but early next week it will get downright nippy again across the region. And it looks like that polar vortex that everybody talked about earlier this month may be making a return appearance as we get to the end of the month, and it will likely set up shop over the Hudson Bay area and likely bring wave after wave of cold air back across the north central United States and into the Midwest, the Delta, and the southeastern states. Portions of the Northeast will also be impacted by this particular event and will likely see a stronger demand for heating fuel as we move through the latter days of January and into early February. As far as the precipitation possibilities are, though, we will see a continuation of light snow occurring on a fairly frequent basis across the upper Midwest and Great Lakes region. Snow that falls in the Ohio River Valley will be very brief and somewhat rare, but we will see a little bit of that occur already, perhaps as we move through the day on Saturday, and some lingering snow showers on Sunday morning in the eastern parts of the basin. We'll look for another period of unsettled weather to occur during the first part of next week across the upper parts of the Midwest, but as colder air pushes into the region, we'll see a little bit of snow shower activity occur a little further south on a periodic basis. Some of the model data suggests that once the cold air starts to pool up in Canada again, that there will be a larger storm system developing in the last week of this month across the southeastern part of the country that would impact the middle and north Atlantic states as well. We'll watch for that as time moves forward. In hard red winter wheat country, there's still concern about dryness and about the fact that we are losing winter hardiness. It's been rather mild out there recently. The crops are no longer as well protected against any kind of bitter cold. So if we do start seeing surges of cold come into the middle of the country as we move into next week or even in the following week, there's going to have to be some significant snowfall before we get involved with the coldest conditions. Temperatures over these next few days are not going to be excessively cold, but early next week they will get that way. We'll look for the high temperatures across the region here today, running mostly in the teens across the northern parts of the Midwest. Teens and 20s will be most common. There'll be some single-digit readings in portions of Minnesota, and we'll see temperatures in the lower Ohio River Valley and the northern parts of the Delta not much warmer than 20s and lower 30s. As we move on into the day tomorrow, similar conditions will prevail. Teens and 20s north, 30s, perhaps some 40s, though, will occur in the southwest part of the Corn Belt, and as we move into Sunday, we'll likely see the warmer air overrun the south just a little while longer, but then we set the stage for much colder temperatures, and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, there may be some areas in the far northern parts of the Midwest that don't get above zero or are very close to it, And our low temperatures at night during that period of time will fall into the negative teens and negative 20s in the upper parts of the Midwest, while we'll probably see sub-zero readings down into portions of northern Illinois, northern Indiana, northwestern Ohio. Again, this will be about midweek next week. In the meantime, a million-dollar rain is still set to come across Argentina as we get into the week next week. Looks like Monday through Thursday, everybody will get rain, and it'll be so very important because it'll be oppressively hot and dry over these next few days across the country. Already yesterday, temperature extremes got up to 111 degrees in the southwestern part of corn and soybean country, and it looks like today and tomorrow and Sunday as well, we'll see temperatures in the upper 90s and lower 100s. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading for this Friday morning. Hard red winter wheat, May, 622 and a half, down 3 1/4. July, 619 and 3/4, down 2 3/4. Soft May wheat, 574, down 5 3/4. July, 581 1/4, down 5 1/4. March corn, 425 1/4, down 2 3/4. July, 439, down 2 3/4. December, 450, down 2 1/4. March soybeans, 1306 1/2, down 8 1/2. July, 1274 1/4, down 7. November, 1117 1/4, down 5. March soybean meal, $4.29, down $3. March soybean oil, $37.73, down 32. February live cattle, $139.55, down 60. January feeders, $169.65, down 15. February lean hogs, $86.57 1/2. They're down 30. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. He is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Looks like what we have today is a combination of a long weekend and better weather conditions in South America. That pretty much has got everything in red today.
Yeah, we're just kind of in a, you know, trading range market here, and no real bullishness to speak of after last Friday's report, but you know, we're not breaking any new lows or anything. We're just kind of trading, probably look at trading down to some of the support in beans. I think the other thing's kind of going on in beans is some of the bull spreads that were put on between the old crop, new crop, or maybe March, July type things. It looks like some of that's starting to get unwound a little bit, too.
It looks like that was getting unwound with the FAR contracts down less than the nearbys. So we're marking time. What are we marking time waiting for?
Well, I guess here's where I'm at. Let's look at corn, first of all. I mean, I guess soybeans from a cash bean standpoint, old crop bean standpoint, I mean, I think we've had ample opportunities to sell 13-plus beans, and that's a good sale. On the corn, I guess I think that if you look at maybe a 10% rally off of our low that we hit last week, you know, I think, you know, that's a pretty sober, pretty conservative look that you could say, because I think it is limited upside in this corn market. But that would put you, you know, right in that 440-some, you know, mid-440s as a target maybe on the March futures. And, you know, I think that's a reasonable goal to look at here.
Well, we would have to cross some moving averages, and that would be also a Fibonacci retracement off of the move that began in August of last year. So all those might be juicy technical targets. How do we get there?
I think we may have to go down here and test like the 420, 415 to 420 area again first. But I think the market's going to be, after the report there, fundamentally a little bit hard-pressed to maybe push it down lower than that. So, you know, we may have to do a little bit more work to the downside before we can bring it back up to those levels.
All right. Let's turn our attention briefly to the livestock, because it has been a tremendous rise, just practically straight up. And one begins, if the questions, are we reaching lofty levels where it'll turn over?
I think we have that possibility. It's, you know, when you look at it from a chart standpoint, it could certainly be be showing that as, you know, kind of a spike top here, like in the cattle market I'm talking mm-hmm. right now. But, boy, I'll tell you, with the situation that we're in fundamentally, I think you almost have to give this thing a little bit more time to tell you what's going to happen. But, you know, locking in some puts out there in some of these, you know, 140 areas for, you know, April, for example, I don't think there's anything wrong with getting some coverage on if you're raising cattle.
Yeah, the cash has been amazing.
Yeah, it's the entire livestock, and that's good, you know, when we look at it from a profitability standpoint, looking at it versus, you know, for the demand side on the corn, I think we, you know, gives us some potential there for maybe a little bit increased demand as we move in the next year.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing. Sorry about that, Bill. Let's look and see how futures is currently trading. March corn, 425 and three quarters, down 2 1/4. December, 450 and a quarter, down 2. March soybeans, 1307 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. In November, are 1118 and a quarter, and they are down 4. March soybean meal, 429, down $3. March soybean oil, 3777, down 28. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.